your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, everyone. Paula T. here. Another hot week here in the desert. Today it was a cool 118 degrees with 35% humidity. So we didn't go too far outside today. I thought I'd get started this week. And first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you traders that have sent in questions and comments about the show. I really appreciate it. I'm really glad that it's reaching out to all of you and it's making a difference for you and so forth and so on. So keep the questions and comments coming. It doesn't matter what the comments are about, whether they're positive or less than positive, because that's only going to help me become a better host and a better provider of trading psychology to all of you. Okay? So with that said, I'm going to start today with a comment by Trader Adam in New York City. And he wrote that he had to disagree with me that my comments about getting a couple dollars back from a credit card company or a service provider have nothing to do with trading. And he went on in his email a little bit saying, you know, if I can't afford to blow off $3 here or $10 there, then I shouldn't be trading. Now, I get his perspective. I truly do. All right. But, and that may apply anywhere else in life. A couple bucks here, a little buck, you know, a few dollars there. You know, because yes, we all know we have to pick our battles. And some of the smaller battles are best, you know, just to let go. However, that's only if you are not a trader. If you are a trader, if you disregard managing your money, which is in essence what you are doing when you don't pay attention to your credit card statements, and then maybe a couple months later you say, oh, what's this $5.75 charge? Well, it's too late at that point because everybody knows you only have 30 days to file a dispute or complain about it. And then you say, well, it's only $5.75. So what I want you guys that don't agree with that perspective that I presented a couple weeks ago is that I want you to go back for the past year, and I want you to look at your credit card statements, and I want you to go over every single charge, every single fee, and see if and when it was not a valid fee or a charge, not a valid charge. I'm going to state here today, and correct me if I'm wrong, however, most people I talk to have found that anywhere from 3 to 6 times out of a year, they will be charged a miscellaneous fee, which makes no sense, that they can't figure out what it is, or they'll be overcharged. And it's never a large amount. Now, there was a scam with Facebook the last couple years where all of a sudden you'd get a $1 charge from Facebook or a $2 charge, and everybody disregarded it. Well, I didn't. Facebook doesn't charge you a dollar. They don't charge you $2. And every time it showed up on my bank card, I fought it, and I got it reversed immediately because the bank cards know it's a fraud. It's a scam. So now if you just take, let's just say every month, let's just say $3, those two charges, a dollar charge and $2 charge, was on your credit card. So that's $3 a month times 6. Okay, that's, you know, $66. Now, multiply that by a million. That's $66 million that these con artists, these scammers, got in free money. Now, again, you know, Trader Adam is going to come back to me and say, it's only $3 a month, or whatever it was. And I'm going to say, yeah, but when you're not connected to your money, 100%, then you can't grow your money, and especially as a trader. I don't care if it's only $1 or $2 or $3 or even $10. It's my money, as I said previously. I'm connected to my money. I know exactly how much I have in the bank, in my savings, in my CDs, in my trust funds. I know exactly how much I have every single day. My trading account, every single day I know exactly to the penny how much I have. Why? Because it's my money and I earned it. And I want to grow it even more. So if you're willing to give up $66 a year just on, let's just say, one fee, then that means you're willing to give up a lot more of your money for no reason at all. And do you think that's the mindset of a winning trader? No, it isn't, because then you are no longer going to see opportunity in the smaller trades, in the smaller profit trades. You're going to say, well, hey, that's not worth my time. You know, $50 isn't enough for me. Because you're letting $66 go for a whole year on some fraudulent Facebook charge, because that's not worth your time to fight. So you have to determine, as I said previously, what's a dollar amount that's worth for you to fight over to keep your money? How much money do you have to be overcharged or fraudulently charged or lose in the markets before you say, you know what, enough is enough? And only you can answer that. I'm just sharing my perspective. I'm sharing what works for me. Now, if I wasn't 100% connected to my money, as I mentioned earlier, after I lost everything after Mark Douglas died, I would not have been able to rebuild my empire and be even better at it today if I wasn't connected 100% to my money. Now, think about this, guys. When you go buy a house, you research mortgage lenders, right? You want to get the best terms. Same with buying a car. You research what features you want on the car, what model, what year, if you're not buying a brand new car. You know, what's the warranty? If it's not a brand new car. You're going to research all this stuff and you're going to find a dealership with the best financial deal. You're going to do all this. You're going to expend all that energy to do for these high ticket items. And yet you're not willing to take $50 in profit because it's not enough. So you got to stop and ask yourself, why is that? Why isn't $50 enough on one trade? So then you can book that money and then wait for the next setup and book another amount of money. Why wouldn't $50 be enough? And I'm just using that number as an example, guys. So, sorry, Trader Adam. I'm going to have to disagree with you, and feel free to contact me again and we'll go over it at more length if you feel like it. But if you want to be a successful trader, you have to own every penny in your trading account. You have to own it as if you got that pile of money sitting on your desk, and every time you want to put in a trade, you have to put that money into a slot into your computer to pay for that trade. Mark and I used to have a little, you know, fake setup like that. Maybe I'm going to bring it back because it really made a difference in our workshops. And I'm laughing because I can tell you right now, we had like, you know, Monopoly money, and we had a box and had a little roller in it. And so every time somebody wanted to put on a trade, it was, you know, simulated trading. I mean, we had the real markets up, but it was just simulated trading. And every time they wanted to put on a trade, they had to put in what they were willing to risk on the trade. And everybody started out with the same amount of money. And I'll tell you, there were a lot of guys that couldn't do it. They're like, well, I don't want to lose. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. You don't want to lose your money. So if you don't want to lose your money as a trader, then why are you allowing it to be lost or taken away in any other venue? And again, guys, this goes back to reading your statements. I had a girlfriend who had a retirement fund, IRA or 401k, whatever it was, you know, from her business. And she just threw the statements in a drawer for, like, I don't know, 15 years. Okay. Well, she decided she was getting ready to retire. And so she pulled out the statements, the most recent one, because she thought she had about 180 grand in there. And much to her shock and horror, her retirement fund was down to $21,000. So she immediately calls up the provider and she's like, what the hell? And the provider said, hey, we sent you letters telling you that you should get out of this plan. The market has gone south. Well, she's the only one that can make that decision to get out of the plan. You know, she's part of a 401k. They can't get her out without her permission. And so she lost all of that money. This is a true story, guys. This is a girl I grew up with, okay? And she thought she had one of her daughter's grad schools paid for from her retirement. That's why she's going to cash it in. And little did she know, she had 21 grand because she didn't look at her statements. Now, you may say, well, you know, this is just an exaggeration. It, you know, it's one case out of, you know, 347 million people in the U.S. No, it's not. Sadly, it is not. I will tell you, at least 80 to 90% of all traders I work with never look at any other statements, bank statements, credit card statements, mortgage statements, nothing. And I get it because it's all online. It's invisible now. And this is what I'm here for, to show you that you can't approach your money invisibly. You have to attach to it and grab hold of it, love it, embrace it, so you can grow it as our Heavenly Father wants you to. Okay? So you really have to keep this in mind. This is not trivial. These are facts. This is stuff you need to do. Okay? So again, if you're not reading your statements, start today. All right. It's the middle of the year. It's just, you know, just to begin kind of the, well, it's the middle of July, but so start with July 1st and do it till the end of the year. I think you'll be feeling a little bit better about where you stand financially if you start doing this today. If you have a problem with it, you know where to reach me. So let's head into the break and I'll be back shortly. Okay, so moving along, some of you know that I'm the author of a number of books, and one of my most prosperous ones, along with Independent Prosperity and Success Without Fear, is a nice little workbook that Mark and I put together titled Simple Wisdom for Prosperous Trading. And in there, what we do is we provide you with some, like a daily quote, all right? And then some questions. And then there's blank pages for you to write down, you know, your thoughts and everything before you start trading. So how I came up with the title of the book is real simple. As I've mentioned before, I love Roget's Thesaurus. Okay, it's just awesome, awesome tool for me to look up a definition of a word that is a little more pertinent to what I'm trying to say. So the title of the book, Simple Wisdom for Prosperous Trading. So when I went into Roget's book, what I came up with to help traders better understand what the purpose of the book is this phrase. An interior genius in the market, ratifying the achievement of one's purpose. I'll say it again. An interior genius in the markets, ratifying the achievement of one's purpose. Now, I think that sounds pretty good about what it means to be a trader, a prosperous trader. For instance, interior genius. You would consider yourself intelligent, right? When I say interior genius, I'm talking about your heart, your soul, your brain, your mind, your sense of spirit, sense of faith. In the markets, you're a trader, right? So you're in the markets. Ratifying the achievement of one's purpose. Okay. You're proving to yourself that you can trade and make money as a trader because you believe in yourself. Now, if you don't agree with any of these three statements, then you got to do a little bit of journal work. So, we'll get into that another time, but just quickly to say, if you don't believe in yourself, then no words or exercises are going to have any effect on your trading results because you don't believe in yourself to whatever degree. Okay, you could not believe in yourself 1% and that could just skew it all up. You could be a boom and buster just, you know, every 6 months, once a year, if you don't believe in yourself 1%. It's that simple. That's the way it works. So, you know, let's just kind of take this forward. So we can take this daily affirmation and move it forward for you to start understanding how your mind works, how it needs to work as a trader. So let's take this positive statement. I know that at any given moment, I can change the direction of my trading to a more positive one. I'll say it again. I know that at any given moment, I can change the direction of my trading to a more positive one. Now, you'll know I didn't say prosperous because not all of you are prosperous that are listening to this, or at least not consistently, because then you wouldn't be listening to me because you wouldn't need to, okay? So I just said, change the direction of my trading to a more positive one. And you will be the one to decide what that means. Now, each one of you listening to this, you know you have what it takes to be a successful trader. You already know this. That's why you're a trader. And I'm going to take that even further because I'm going to remind you that you are successful in this moment right now. Right now. But a lot of you out there don't think you're successful right now because you've seen opportunity in the markets that you haven't been able to grab a hold of or keep. I get that. You know, it's just the learning curve of trading. It doesn't matter what the reason behind it is for this exercise. The point is, you know that you've seen the opportunity that you didn't take advantage of. Okay, so what? There's always opportunity in the markets. Always opportunities. That's what our second book, Trading in the Zone, is all about. Especially the exercise. I think it's page 198. Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong. But that exercise of doing the multiple sets of 20 trades in your chosen market is to help you start thinking in probabilities. Not exact. Thinking in probabilities. That's what the markets are about, is a probable outcome based on, yes, historical data and patterns, but it doesn't always happen that way, which of course all of you already know. So if you haven't taken advantage of some big moves, you got a lot of company, myself included, okay? So don't give it a second thought. You don't have to give it a second thought if you learn from it, okay? Not beat yourself up. Just say, okay, I missed out on that big move because get out your pad of paper and write down why, what you were thinking, what you were feeling. So then the next time a big move comes up and you might hesitate, you can go back to that information, that personal data about yourself, and say, oh, gosh, I'm thinking the same thing. I don't have to think that way anymore. And then you might be able to take on that big move and take more profit than you have. So my point is, maybe you have seen some improvement in your trading, but not as much as you like. Okay, join the group. Okay. It's normal. So just keep in mind, being a consistently successful trader takes time, effort, and a willingness to do what needs to be done to change your mindset to that one of a positive thinking, objective trader. And you have to ask yourself, what is your rush? What is your rush to make money? I mean, current domestic and foreign events taken aside, but what is your rush not to learn this process thoroughly and proficiently? Now, you wouldn't be rushing if you truly believed there was always opportunity in the markets. Right? Right. So if your trading results are not to the level that you want, then it is up to you and only you to make the necessary changes to bring about the financial fulfillment you want. I can't do it for you. I can give you all the suggestions in the world, but you have to make the decision to sit down and do the mental work, take a mental inventory of what you're thinking and why, keep what works, and discard the rest. This isn't going to change you from who you are. You're not going to become some stranger to your family because you're changing your mindset to make more money as a trader. What you are going to be doing is stepping into a higher sense of yourself as a winner. That's all. Okay? Because I do get this question asked. I go, okay, if I make all these changes, who am I going to be? Well, you're still going to be yourself. You're just going to be a better version of yourself. You're just going to be the higher version of yourself that you want to be. But only you can choose to do that. Now, again, I am here to help you all along the way, every step on this journey, if you need it or if you want it. But you still have to decide, I want to be the best trader I can be, and I'm going to do it. So in other words, if what you're currently doing right now with your trading isn't working, then change it. Change is good as a trader, in terms of your mindset and your perspective towards the markets. If it isn't working, then change it. If you don't know how to change it, then call me up. Send me an email. That's what I'm here for. Take advantage of the free call. I work on the weekends and the evenings, especially if, you know, you're outside the U.S. I've been doing that for 25 years, so that's not a problem. Okay? So keep that in mind. So again, if what you're doing with your trading isn't working, then change it, because no one else is going to do it for you. You're the only one that can create your financial future. Okay? So let's think about that for a moment, and I'll be right back.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
All right, one of the really important aspects of being a trader, other than initially defining what trading means to you, what it means to you to be a trader, is defining your trading workspace. Now, I would say probably a lot of you listening to this are trading from home. It's just the nature of how trading has evolved over the last 10, 15 years. I mean, for those of you who are individual traders. And it may be, you know, you may be in a spare bedroom, you may be in, maybe you kind of have a section of the garage or downstairs in the den or your man cave or woman cave. You know, it doesn't really matter where your trading space is in your living space, if that's where you're trading from. But what does matter is if you feel like it's your trading space. Now, you got to take a look around your trading space, maybe when you're listening to this another day, and say, what would I change about this trading space, if anything? What would I trade? What would I change about my trading office if I could? And be honest. I'll tell you, and I know I use percentages all the time, but you know, I'm trying to make this clear. I say 95% of all traders I work with do not like where they're trading. It's okay. I hear that a lot. It's okay. It'll do for now. I'd really like blah, 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 blah. But, you know, my wife doesn't want me to spend the money because I haven't made any money trading yet. So I don't really feel that I should spend any money on trading space, whether it's just giving the room a coat of paint or getting a new desk. Because a lot of traders out there are trading from, you know, leftover furniture that you had laying around the house. You know, or you went out and bought something at a used furniture store that wasn't really exactly what you wanted. But again, you'd spent so much money on your system and your electronics that you didn't feel that you should spend any more money on furniture. Well, that's really counterproductive to you growing your money. Because what you're telling yourself is, I don't have money for a decent desk or the proper lighting or the proper trading space at all. A lot of the guys that I know, they're working in the corner of their master bedroom. Now, they say it's a pretty nice sized master bedroom, so there's plenty of room to do that in. However, it's the master bedroom. So, you know, that has a different name. The master bedroom, that's where it's at, okay? So you have to delineate your trading space as much as possible, you know, whether you're in an apartment or not. I mean, you know, and all of you know, I've mentioned before, Mark and I started out in a studio apartment in the 1980s, okay? We had a futon bed, or not even the bed. We just had the futon mattress on the floor. It was a studio, and then we bought some white bookcases at some local furniture store that we had to put together, you know, to hide the bed from the kitchen table, which was where we traded and where we started writing The Disciplined Trader. Okay. So, but we, you know, that futon mattress was behind the bookcase. So it visually gave a semblance of another area. Okay. And then finally we went into a one bedroom, and in the corner of that one bedroom was our desk that we shared, and we put up a room divider screen, you know, like a Japanese screen, or, you know, like one of those wooden ones, cutout ones from India, you know, whatever we found. I don't remember exactly what the type was. So our desk was behind that screen. And so nothing behind that screen was done except writing the book and trading. That's it. Even though it was in the bedroom, technically in the bedroom, but it was behind that screen. And so there was nothing else that was done behind that screen except work. So I bring that up because if you have a small space, you can do that, you know, just put a divider up and make it as business-like as possible, no matter how small your space is. Now, because if you're not comfortable, if you're not completely comfortable in the space you're trading, then you're not 100% focused on the market. Now, you may think you are, but you're not. Because underneath that, it's like, I wish I was trading somewhere else. I wish I had an office. I wish I had this. I wish I had a view. I wish I had a better view. You know, I wish I had a window closer to my desk. Whatever it is, those little things are deep down inside. Not so deep, because that affects your trading. Because now you're already feeling less than prosperous because you don't have proper trading space to work from in your mind. Okay? Now, you may think, okay, and I'm probably going to get some comments on this, maybe from Trader Adam again, saying, nobody cares about where they trade from as long as they got their computer, their system, and a desk, and their mouse, I'm like, well, technically you may be right, but certainly not from a financially spiritual perspective. Having the perfect space to trade in is essential to maintaining your focus each and every trading day. If there's even one item or one thing you don't like about your trading space, that's going to distract you. It could be 0.5%, but that 0.5% distraction is all it's going to take, as all of you well know, because we've all been there, into a deep dive or a boom and bust cycle. So you have to ask yourself, why wouldn't you want to trade in the most perfect space? And guys, I used to go to traders' homes and apartments. I did this for probably 15 years before, you know, the world got goofy and it's too scary to go into people's homes that you don't know. But I used to go to their homes, even some of their offices. Some of them had rented offices, and I would perform what's called feng shui. And feng shui is the ancient art, I'm sure you all know, of placement. And I didn't make them go out and buy anything new. I worked with exactly what they had right there. That's all. Sometimes we turned the desk around so it wasn't facing a wall and it was facing the door. That's key right there. No matter if you're sharing the room, you know, like the bedroom. And even though, like I said, when Mark and I were in the one bedroom and we put that screen up, the opening from the screen faced the door. So we still had a vision of openness. And this is something we can go over at another time. But, you know, another thing was there was a lady trader, had a really nice home, but she had gotten divorced and she hadn't quite made it her own home yet. And so she started talking about, well, I have these antique quilts from my grandmother's and I always thought I'd hang them up or throw one over the couch. And I said, well, where are they? She goes and she brings them out. So that's what we did. We just redecorated her room. And she also had a bad problem because she had painted the wall behind her computer station and her desk, her trading desk, black. And black was just absorbing all her energy. It was just sucking her out. She was so tired all the time. And I said, well, what was the decision to paint the wall black? And she said, so I would think I was in the black, you know, like be in the money. And I said, well, green might have been a better color, you know, instead of black. It's like a black hole. And that's what she said. That's what I felt like. I feel like I'm trading in a black hole. I said, so then paint the wall. She goes, well, you know, I'm by myself. I can't move the desk. It's really heavy. And I said, well, you know, I got a couple buddies. So I said, make a date. So we did. We moved the desk. She painted the wall. We moved it back. So it's just little things like that, guys. You know, if you have curtains, you don't like curtains, take them down. If you have blinds, you don't like blinds, then put up curtains. Just little things like that. Look at what's on your desk. What is on your desk that you look at before you start trading every morning? The first thing I see right below my screen is a Waterford Crystal #1. #1, just the #1. It's probably 10 inches high. I found it at Goodwill, as a matter of fact. It was like $10. I'm like, is that Waterford? And I was dropping off a donation and I saw it and I thought, yeah, that's me. I'm #1. So you got to think about what's on your desk. What is helping you stay focused on the markets? What is helping you think prosperously? And if there's stuff on your desk that isn't providing you that, then move it off your desk. You don't have to get rid of it. Just put it in a box, put it in the closet. Just get it out of the way. And you can also, you know, a lot of guys I know, they might frame a $100 bill, you know, in an acrylic frame. You know, you can get it at Michael's. And they have that right by their monitor, just reminding them, take $100, take $100 as they're getting started. It with their consistency. So there's just little things like that is really going to make a difference in your trading space. I had a client years ago who came to me literally crying that he couldn't make consistent money trading. He had moved in with a woman overseas, and the only place he had to trade from was in one of her closets. Literally, it was her condo. And it got to the point where he dreaded going into the closet every day. And that area was what he called the tombs. So no wonder he couldn't make any money. He thought he was in a cemetery. I mean, I get it. There was no light. There was no window. And it was one of those closets where it was under the eaves, so he couldn't stand up. He could sit down, but he couldn't stand up fully because the ceiling was so slanted. So I told him, I said, just tell your girlfriend, I'm not trading in here anymore. I'm going to take over the second bedroom, because she wanted that for her projects. Well, anyway, long story short, they didn't get along after that. But he moved out, and everything turned around, because he created the kind of trading space that he wanted, not what somebody else told him he could have. And you have to do this, guys. This isn't like having a man cave. This is having a trading workspace, a professional approach to making and growing your money. Okay? So if you don't have a 100% positive feeling about the space you trade from, you won't be able to focus on the markets. And is that having a winner's mindset? No. No, it isn't. And you guys know this, okay? So if you need some advice on how to spruce up your trading space and create what you want in terms of a positive energy flow, just let me know. Send me an email or give me a call. And with that, we'll go to break. Be right back. Okay, getting back to some of your comments, one of the first things I want to, as I said a little earlier in the show, is that when I'm giving you examples, real life examples about claiming your money, no matter how small the amount is, or picking up coins in the street, you know, this isn't grousing, this isn't complaining, this isn't, you know, badgering you guys. What I'm trying to really bring home, which apparently seems to be a little challenging for some of you, is you have to learn how to think like a winner. Now, you may think that you already do, but if you already think like a winner, then again, you wouldn't be listening to my podcast. You wouldn't be listening to this radio show. You know, you wouldn't be calling me for the free advice. So the point is that you have to own your money. You have to own your profits. No matter how small, no matter how large. And having a winning, prosperous, consistent mindset is the same, no matter what your level of trading is. That remains a constant. That doesn't change. And if it was changeable, then our books wouldn't still be the all-time bestsellers on Amazon and translated into 15 languages and literally known all the way around the world. We set the bar. We started this whole thing. There was not one book out there on trading psychology because the field didn't even exist in 1985. The Disciplined Trader was published in 1990. Trading in the Zone was published in 2000, and it was only after around 2000 that all these other people started writing their books. And why is that? Because they knew there was something to it. So, you know, again, pick your battles, pick what you want to think about what I'm saying or doing. You may not, you know, subscribe to anything I'm saying, but I am here to help you guys think the highest of yourself, so you can create your highest profits for yourself. Now, one of the other comments is a lot of you, not a lot, but you know, quite a few of you have written in and said, well, you know, you're not very polished and you're not as good as so-and-so or so-and-so. And, you know, they're all on social media every day and, you know, you're once a week. Well, that's great because you know what? That's good for them. And I can guarantee you that they're out there hawking their wares every day because they probably have an office full of staff. I don't. I've got a receptionist, I've got me, and I've got an assistant. And I'm writing new books, trading, and helping you guys become the best you can be. But more importantly, doing a radio show or doing a podcast is relatively new for me because my primary venue for disseminating this material has been one-on-one or in workshops. So it used to be very rare that I was not in front of an audience, or at least a trader or two. So if I kind of say okay or or hem and haw a little bit, it's because, you know, I'm looking at my computer screen. I'm not looking at each one of you. And it's a lot easier when you're looking at a sea of faces or even just one face in front of you, because then there's a connection, a little better connection. So if you're disappointed that I'm not as slick as some of these other guys out there, that's okay. If you want slick, then go listen to them. If you want real information, the truest sense of what trading psychology is all about, then, you know, you'll listen to me. And you can listen to both. You can have slick and not so slick. I don't mind being called not so slick because I'm still the best at what I do. I am the best at what I do because I co-created this field. And there's no one that's going to do this better than me. They might have a better marketing, might have a better background or whatever, but they don't have what I have because we started it all. So just keep that in mind if you could. That would be very nice. I would appreciate that. Okay? So, and again, you know, you guys can disagree with what I'm saying because I would love the interaction. I would love the dialogue. But here's a really good point. I can say that because it doesn't bother me. If you come to me and say, oh, I think you're full of hooey, I'd say, okay, well, why? And then we would have a great, great discussion about it. And I would learn from that. I would learn from you. So it's a two-way street, guys. Just keep that in mind. It's a two-way street. I'm not just here lecturing at you. I am here working with you and for you. And so what I'm going to remind you of is this affirmation. I no longer subscribe to someone else's idea of who I am. I am a success right here, right now. I'm going to repeat that. I no longer subscribe to someone else's idea of who I am. I am a success right here, right now. Now, when you truly believe that about yourself, as I do, no one can take anything away from you in terms of your efforts to become the best trader you can be. You can say, everyone else's opinion about me and what I'm doing as a trader no longer applies. Because, again, I am a success right here, right now. Now, you know, God in heaven looks at you as a success. You're one of his children. All of his children are success stories. So allow yourself to believe that. Give yourself permission to know that he wants you to be the best you can be. That's why you're listening to me, because I'm just sitting here reminding you. I have a connection to him, just like you do. Every time I have a question, I go right to him and I wait for his answer, and I always get it because I'm open to hearing the answer. Now, I'm not saying I have all the answers you may need in your life, but you'll listen as long as I do, as long as you think I have something to share. So just remember, you are currently a prosperous thinker. Now put it into action with your trading, starting on Monday. You are a prosperous thinker. Give yourself permission to put it into action as a trader on your next trading day. So that's my little message here for today. Again, questions and comments, you know where I'm at. PaulaTWeb.com, 760-636-4290. Books on Amazon, you can find them all on our website. The links are there. And I wish you all the best in the upcoming trading week. Stay cool.
Thanks for listening. Paula T. Webb, PhD, is author of the publication Success Without Fear, Independent Prosperity. You can reach the office of Paula T. Webb at 760-636-4290. Her website is paulatweb.com. Also find Paula's publications at globalpublishinghouse.com.